Hello, 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 and welcome to My Empty Hands, a podcast about the martial arts, typically with a focus on Kenpo. I am Reggie Darden, and I'm excited to have another wonderful guest here, Mr. Chris Casamassa, probably best known for, well, I guess I should ask you, but I'm going to assume that you're best known for your role as Scorpion in Mortal Kombat, but what would you probably say you're most recognized for?
Probably that, I would have to say. I agree with you.
Okay, right on, right on. Excellent, excellent. So, I usually have guests talk about how the martial arts found them and how they got started in all of that. excuse me. Let's go ahead and get into your story. Where did the martial arts find you, and where did it all start for you?
Gotcha. Well, my superhero origin story starts when I was 4 years old. My dad actually got me involved in the martial arts. He is the creator and founder of our style of karate, which is known as Red Dragon Karate. And he started training when he was in the military. My father was in the Marine Corps, stationed in Japan as a military police officer. And that's where he fell in love with the martial arts. And the first style he started was a style of martial arts called Judo. He fell in love with it while he was there, extended his tour of duty so he could stay. And he actually stayed all the way until he earned his black belt in judo. And when he got promoted to black belt in Japan at the Kodokan, he was one of the first 10 Americans to ever actually achieve that goal. But he never stopped loving the martial arts. So he came back to the States and continued learning different styles. And he ended up, you know, having black belts in almost 10 different styles of martial arts. And he never really loved any one of them. He loved them all. So in the early 1960s, he did something that was unheard of in the martial arts world. He started combining styles of martial arts. We've been around ever since. So I kind of grew up in it and got a front row seat at all the things that he got to create and do in that journey of martial arts.
Very nice. Now, was that, did he kind of push you into that? Or I should say, So whenever I talk to someone that their parents were involved in it, I'm always curious if it was kind of a separate thing, or were kind of martial arts lessons kind of woven into everyday life. I liken it to like the Karate Kid, where you're washing cars and that's a karate lesson, or was it pretty kind of separate? And then was there a push for you to be involved in the martial arts, or did you just kind of see what your dad was doing and was like, I want to do that too?
Yeah, well, we had no Karate Kid moments. There wasn't wax on, wax off, if that's what you're referring to. But yeah, the cool thing about my dad was he never really pushed me in martial arts. I started when I was four because, you know, growing up, I would always be curious as to where daddy was, and mommy would say, well, daddy's doing karate. So I learned at a young age, if you wanted to spend more time with dad, you had to kind of be at the studio. This was before any of the business stuff that's out now. You know, my dad just loved martial arts, but he didn't really know a whole lot about running a business. He just knew he had to be there all the time. So I got into it because I wanted to be around my dad. And so he didn't really push me into it. The cool thing about him, though, was we basically made a deal. And when you're four, you make a deal with anything. But he said, listen, you can do karate. You can start, but you're not allowed to stop until you make black belt. And, you know, 4 years old, you're like, okay, dad, whatever. But it taught me about perseverance. It taught me about commitment. It taught me about setting goals and achieving goals at a very young age. And that stuck with me through my entire life. And so there were times in my journey in the beginning when I was young, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, where I wanted to quit. And my dad would remind me, like, you're not a black belt. You can't quit. The hook being that when you become a black belt, you don't want to quit because now you're a black belt. You know, and it took me 6 years. I didn't achieve my black belt until I was 10 years old. I was not a quick study. I was not a good student at a young age because I was a young kid. So it took me some time and I learned a lot of lessons along the way. But once I get to my black belt, then I was hooked and I really never wanted to give up after that.
I like that. I like that he kept you in. There is a lot of kind of talk these days about this generation being softer and kind of being allowed to quit things, and inevitably they kind of do, unless they catch that bug. So I like that. I like that you were able to kind of stick with it. We're going up. Were you have any interest in not doing it, or you just still?
No, I fell in love with it. You know, when I made my black belt, I was hooked. And then around the time I turned 18 is really the only time where I don't know if it was lost interest, but I just kind of got tired of it a little bit. It was a really lethal combination. I was 18 years old. I was a third degree black belt. And those two things don't always collide well because I was 18. And at 18, you think you know everything and you think you understand the world. Looking back on it, I realized I didn't know shit, but I thought I did. And I thought third degree black belt was like super high. It's nothing looking back on it perspective wise. But at the time, you know, you're young and you're dumb and you're learning and finding your way in the world. And so I took a year off from 18 to 19. And then I came back. And when I came back, it was crazy because all the people that I was higher than in class had stayed in class and they were now higher than me. So I was used to being the number one kid in line and I wasn't number one anymore. So it was a very humbling experience when I came back. So, and it took me 3 years to catch up to where all those other kids who didn't take time off were at. And after that, I was like, I'm never stopping again. I like this too much. And I've learned a very important lesson because martial arts is one of those skills that if you don't use it, you kind of lose it a little bit. Like you always remember the experience, but you do lose the skill. You lose the edge that you develop by training regularly. And so I never wanted to feel like that again.
Gotcha. Now with, I'll kind of jump around so forgive me if we're kind of go on tangents, but I definitely want to touch on the acting side and stunt work and things like that. When did that part of your journey start, and was that something that you were interested in getting into?
That's kind of a yes and no, because when I was young, the biggest martial arts movie icon role model at the time was Bruce Lee. Like everyone wanted to be Bruce Lee. And I used to watch Bruce Lee movies and think, wow, it'd be so cool to be able to do martial arts on TV or do martial arts in the movies. So that was kind of my back of my mind type of thing, that it would be cool, but I never thought it would be attainable. And it was something I wanted to do. And then fast forward, and I'm going to skip around. You know, I'm competing on the professional tour for martial arts. I was a four-time number one national champion. And 1 year when I was in Atlanta at a tournament and I ended up winning the championship there, there were some producers from a TV show in the audience. And they came up to me and a couple of the other guys that won that night and said, hey, we're doing a TV show. We'd like to see if you guys would be interested in doing it. And so we're like, oh, yeah, sure. And we'd heard stuff like that before, but nothing really ever happened. And about 3 months later, we get a phone call and says, hey, we're going to have you guys come in for this show we talked about, and we're going to go to Florida and shoot the pilot. And that ended up becoming the TV show WMAC Masters.
Very nice. Now,
yeah.
So when you started that, did you kind of already, did you see that as this was going to be the springboard to getting into acting, or were you just...
Well, before the pilot shot, so I'd done a couple other movies. My dad knew some people. I mean, we're in LA, California. So I got to do, you know, like movies like Revenge of the Ninja and Black Eagle with Shokazuki and Jean-Claude Van Damme, just minor parts here and there, small things. So I kind of got my feet wet doing that and getting an interest for it. And then in late 94, early 94, I had picked up an agent by that time, and I got a call to go to the auditions for Mortal Kombat, which I was a huge fan of the game. And, my two favorite characters were Raiden and Scorpion in that order. Nowadays, it's different. It's Scorpion then Raiden. But, you know, we went down there because the producer, Larry Kazanoff, wanted to bring in real martial artists. He wanted to do the game justice and make it as authentic as possible. But when we got there, they told us all the roles were filled and that they just needed background fighters. And I was like, cool. I've never been in a major motion picture. I've been in some small movies, you know, bit parts here, but it'd be cool to just get the experience to be in a major Hollywood motion picture. And so they had us performing. They just wanted to do some stuff, and they had it set up like a martial arts tournament, which was cool. They had like this little ring area, and they had some people sitting in chairs and stuff like that. And there, but there were like 100 guys. It was crazy. And really good guys. And everybody was going, I was watching like, oh, these guys are good, but I really want to get in this movie. And so I want to do something different that's going to set me apart. And so it was my turn to go up, and I realized these guys that are sitting in the chairs are watching us. I didn't know who they were, but it was like judges at a karate tournament. And I'm like, they're sitting down. So they're only maybe 3.5-4 feet high. I'm like, you know what? I think I can clear them. I can get over these guys. So I start doing my routine, and I run right at them, and I do a jumping sidekick over them while they're in the chairs. And I just remember watching their heads in slow motion, just kind of look up and watch me go over. And I do some moves on the other side of them, and I jump back over, and I finish. And I'm like, okay, well, hopefully that gets their attention. It did. That night I got a phone call and said, hey, we want you to come back tomorrow. I was like, all right, cool. So I go back tomorrow. Next day, it was a much smaller group. And they asked us to do some more stuff. I do some more stuff. I get a call that second night. Hey, we want you to come back tomorrow. And now I'm like, oh my God, it is hard to get in to a major Hollywood picture as a background. I was just going in for background fighting. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I go back, and there's just three of us. It's me and two other guys. And they have one of the Panavision movie cameras there, and a bunch of people around this camera. And we're in a small room. And we're just standing there for a couple of minutes, and they're just filming us with the camera. It's weird. And then a guy walks over and he goes, hey, would you guys mind taking off your shirts? And I just looked at him and I go, well, listen, if it'll get me in the movie, I'll go back to your trailer. See, you laugh. And that's the reaction that I was hoping for, because I get nervous. I'm a little bit of a smartass. But that guy didn't laugh. He just looked at me dead stare. And I was like, oh, man, whatever this is, I just blew it. Like, I'm not getting this part. So I was just trying to lighten the mood. So we take off our shirts, and I was in pretty good shape. I was trying to keep myself in good shape. And the guy on the left was kind of heavy set, and the guy on my right was not in the best shape. And I'm trying to look like I'm not flexing, but I am, but I'm trying to be look normal. So they're filming us for a couple minutes. And then the same guy that asked us if we'd take our shirts off came over, and he shakes my hand. He goes, welcome to Mortal Kombat. You're going to be Scorpion.
Very nice.
And until that moment, I had no idea that the role was open, because they told us all the roles were filled, and they said they just wanted background fighters. So I actually, to this day, don't know the real story behind it about what happened, if they had someone cast, or if they were just saying that or not. But yeah, that's how I ended up with the role of Scorpion. Then so I shot that movie. We did all that. And then that following, like 6 months later, I got the phone call to go to WMAC Masters. And then while we were in Florida filming the TV show, we were at a Planet Hollywood eating, having a lunch break. And all of a sudden the trailer for Mortal Kombat came on inside the Planet Hollywood. And it was the first time I saw it. So it was kind of a neat 1-2 punch to get the Mortal Kombat movie, get it done, and then have the opportunity to do WMAC Masters.
Very nice. Very nice. Now it's been told, that the, your fight with Johnny Cage and the fight with Reptile, those were shot after the movie was already done. I'm curious, was there kind of was there more fights that y'all tried to sneak in there? And then, two, were there kind of parts of the fights or whatnot that maybe you shot or had planned and didn't make it into the movie?
No, everything that we planned ended up being in the movie, and it all ended up being in the movie. And I told the story many times because of the fans at the test screenings. And that's why I'm so appreciative of all the Mortal Kombat fans, even after all these years, because they're very supportive and they know the characters, they know the game, they know what it's supposed to be. And when they saw the rough cut of the movie, they basically walked out of the theater, which is what the producers told us. And they did that three times, three different test screenings. And that led to them doing the reshoots, because there was no way they were putting the movie out if the fans weren't supporting it. So those fights, which were scheduled to be filmed in the movie, but as you probably know, film production goes over budget and it goes over time a lot. It's a frequent thing that happens. You run out of time, you run out of daylight, and there's only so many days that you can film because they budget for it. And so we had run out of time in Thailand, where in that rubber tree plantation, that's where our fight was supposed to happen. And the same thing with the reptile fight, it was supposed to happen there in Thailand, but all those fights happened back in LA because of the reshoots.
Gotcha. Now, I just had kind of lost my thought here, but we'll see if we'll see if I get back to it. But I was just thinking. So I did get a chance to interview Keith Cook, and we had a of course we talked about Mortal Kombat. But I'm curious. So something that I asked him was, as we were kind of going through his kind of filmography and things, I'm curious for you, in the kind of various roles and things that you've done, were there things that maybe you were up for that that you didn't get that you wouldn't mind sharing? As Mr. Cook had quite a few items that I had no idea that he was up for that would have been great to see had they come to fruition.
No, I don't have any stories like that. And there's stuff I've gone out for that I didn't get, but nothing that I know that I was actually up for and didn't get.
Is there any role that you were up for, or I should say that you went out for, that you really wanted, or maybe a role that you didn't go up for that you wish you would have tried to get?
Yeah, I would have liked to have been Iron Man.
you could definitely double for him. You got the Robert Downey.
I've been told that
look.
Many times.
So yeah, hey, they're working on Avengers, so maybe you can get in. Nice. Now, I wanted to touch on the teaching side of it. When did you get into the teaching part of it, and was that something that you always had a interest in?
No, it actually wasn't something I had an interest in. It kind of happened almost naturally. When I was in my early teens, 16, 17, I was helping out my dad at the studio a lot, just going in and assisting classes. And then I got bit by the competition bug, and I wanted to go out on tour and start competing. So I wasn't really doing a whole lot of teaching then, just kind of sticking my big toe in it. Then when I got to like 20, 21, I really started to get into it more and enjoyed, especially as I started to win on the pro tour, I wanted to share that knowledge and experience with the other students at the studio. So it helped to give them a competitive edge, the better I got as a competitor, which is something we didn't really have inside of our organization at that time. And then I got the opportunity to go teach seminars all over the world, which was great, and travel to Europe and things like that. So it kind of manifested itself as a natural extension of my competition. And then seeing the kids light up when they're learning stuff really just touched my heart, and something I always wanted to keep doing.
Very nice. So once again, kind of jumping around again, but I wanted to touch a little bit on, you recently kind of competed again recently in forms. I saw one of your posts recently, and mm-hmm. Kind of how did that kind of come about? And
Well, it was just time to dust off the uniform again. Listen, I was on the pro tour for 10 years. I was a 4-time number one national champion. And then after I retired, basically made a deal with myself that every 5, 7, 10 years, I would dust off the gi and see if I still had what it took to have that competitive edge out there. And so since I've retired, which has been over 30 years now, I've gone out there and done it. So it was time again. It's been a good 7 years since I've done it before. And went out there and gave it one last good college try, and it worked out. I'm still winning, so that's good.
Very nice. Yeah, I didn't do much competing in my younger years, and it was just in sparring. I've toyed with the idea of doing it for doing forms and whatnot, and I don't know. We'll see. I never like seeing myself. So if I get out there and somebody videos it, I don't know if I'm gonna want to watch it. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes. So
uh-huh.
Very nice, very nice. So you know, I know that we don't have a ton of time, so I want to make sure that I kind of get to my usual stuff in our time here. So we're gonna go ahead and jump over to what I call our lightning round here. I have a few little questions to throw at you, and then we'll kind of go from there. First one being, do you have a favorite technique?
Spinning hook kick.
Ah, yes, one of my favorites. That's I like that. I like that. What would be a second favorite?
Good punch to the body.
Very nice, very nice. I like it. I like it. All right. Next question. Do you have a favorite form?
Yeah, the one you watched on video, my competition form.
Oh, okay. Okay, right on. Now, was that like a custom form? Is it traditional?
That is a custom.
Okay, very nice, very nice. I like it. Well, then I'm gonna have to watch it a few more extra times and see if I can get all the moves down and figure it out. All right. Do you have a favorite weapon?
The comma.
Nice, nice. I like that. I don't think any of my previous guests have picked that one. So I like that. That's nice. All right. If there is anyone that you could train with, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional, who would that be?
My dad.
Very nice.
Passed away a couple years ago, and I miss him. So yeah.
Very nice. I like it. I like it. All right. So now this next one is still kind of figuring out how to word this one, but what is something I don't know, motivates you, inspires you to train? So I'll kind of clarify it with something that I use. So anytime I watch the movie Rocky IV, and we get to the training montage, and he's he's running through the snow and chopping the wood and lifting the, I see that, and Hearts of Fire is playing, and I see that scene, and I'm ready to hit the mat and get out there and train and work. So what is something like that for you? And it could be anything, movie, music, you know, person. It's just something that always gets you motivated to get out there and train.
You know, as cliche as this sounds, the thing that motivates me to train is my students, because I believe in leadership by example, and I want them to be able to watch me and go, I want to do that. I want to be like that. So I don't want to be the person who just talks the talk. I want to be the person who walks the walk. And so that's my inspiration. That and my kids. Listen, my kids are involved in martial arts now, and they're both black belts, and they're both becoming their own person, and they're doing some great things. And so I want to continue to lead and inspire them, to show them. And that's one of the great things about martial arts compared to any other sport. Like, I've been doing this for over 50 years, and I'm still able to do it. I mean, you can't say that about baseball or football or soccer, these other sports. And it's something that's a great lifelong thing that you can do with your family, you can do by yourself, and it keeps you healthy, it keeps you strong, it keeps you mentally sane. There's so many benefits to the martial arts that you just don't find anywhere else, and so all of that is my motivation.
Very nice. I like it. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and turn this over to shameless self-promotion. So you can plug anything that you'd like, or anything that you wanted to make sure that we got out there before we close out for our time here. You have the floor.
Yeah, man. For all your listeners, if they ever just want to find out more about me or follow me, they can find me. I'm one of the easiest guys to find on social media. The hard part is just spelling my last name right, Casamassa. But I'm everywhere: Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Snapchat. Pretty easy to find, or they can just go to chriscasamassa.com or reddragonkarate.com.
Very nice. Yeah, I will also put links to your things here in the show notes. But Yeah, no, I thank you for taking the time to chat with me and share a little bit of your story. Hopefully we can do this at another time and get into more specific topics and kind of drill into some kind of deeper parts. But yeah, I just thank you for taking the time and sharing your story, and we'll talk at another time.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me on, and good luck with your show.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you for listening to My Empty Hands. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend. If you didn't enjoy it, please share it with an enemy. If you'd like to be a guest, or if you would like to recommend a guest for the show, please email me at podcast@talkingkenpo.com. Thank you.